Proverbs chapter 3. We've been studying in our Sunday school class through the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs, the word proverb means a wise saying, and it was written by King Solomon, the son of King David. And it's just packed full of just wise things that will help us in life. The theme of the book of Proverbs is the word wisdom. And the word wisdom simply means, biblical wisdom means you take the principles of the Word of God and you live them out in your life. And if you'll do that, God promised some amazing things to people who will live their lives by wisdom. So we've just been kind of taking a chapter a week. Actually, it's been taking us more like 2 weeks to get through a chapter. And so let's pray this morning and we'll get started. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for raising for us, Lord. Thank you that you're coming again to get us one of these days. We're so thankful for that. Thank you for Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Thank you for our Sunday school class. I pray now you'd bless us this morning as we teach through your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we started chapter 3, and chapter 3 is what I call the not chapter. And if you read through chapter 3, you'll see a reoccurring theme. There are 12 specific things that God tells us not to do, and if we'll not do these things, God attaches some promises of blessing to the different nots. And last week, I'll just mention them to you. We talked about in verse 1, it says to forget not the law. Then it said, let not mercy and truth forsake us. Lean not unto our own understanding. Be not wise in our own eyes, and despise not the chastening of the Lord. Those were the five we talked about last week, and then we'll finish up the rest of them this week. But before we get to the next knots, God kind of did something very interesting here when he allowed Solomon to write Proverbs chapter 3. In the middle of the chapter, God kind of took a time out, and he puts a parenthetical statement in. It's kind of like a parenthesis around something. And so before he continues the knots, he says, time out for a minute. I want to tell you something you need to know. All right, so let's start with that. Let's look at verse 13. All right, Proverbs chapter 3. Let's read verses 13 through 20. All right, Bible says this, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. So what God is saying here is this. He's like, I tell you what, before we continue on the things that I want you to not do, let me tell you, let me just take a time out and tell you why you should obey my word, why you should really think wisdom is important. As we read through that little passage we just read there, there's some byproducts of wisdom. All right, and I hope you picked up on it. Let me just list them for you here. Here's what it says: happiness, merchandise, gain, length of days, riches, honor, pleasantness, peace. Now, if I were to ask you to sum up things that maybe you really wanted in life, I would dare say those things I just mentioned would probably make up your list. Okay? Happiness. Who doesn't want happiness, right? I mean, don't we all want to be happy? I mean, even the fairy tales we read to our kids end with happily ever after, right? I mean, hey, people want to be happy. I mean, hey, I want to be happy. I mean, I want my family to be happy. I want happiness in my life. Well, you know what God says? I'll tell you what. You pursue wisdom, guess what you'll have? Happiness. By the way, he said that twice in there. Twice. Happiness. Merchandise. Okay? Hey, you know what that means? That means just what it says it means. Merchandise. Okay? Gain. Who doesn't want to have gain? Length of days. You know what length of days means? It means living longer. It refers to that. It also refers to the quality of your everyday life. Okay? I mean, folks, you can either live through a day or you could exist through a day. And if I get the choice, hey, I want to try to live every day. I only get a limited amount. Okay? My time's not unlimited. It's limited. So the time I do have, I want to make every second, every minute count. Okay? Length of days. Riches. Now, let me say this to you, okay? if you apply Bible principles to your finances, you will have more money as if you didn't apply Bible principles to your finances. Okay? That's just a fact of the matter. Okay? But every time in the Bible you see the word riches, it's not just referring to monetary things. Okay? That's not what it's referring to. In fact, Jesus told us in the New Testament, lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay it for yourselves treasures in heaven. Okay, so riches, don't get this mentality. You know, I'm not trying to preach a health and wealth mentality here. Well, if you follow God, God will give you, you'll be a millionaire, you'll have all this and all that. Okay, that's not what the Bible's teaching. But let me say this, there is riches more than just monetary things. You see, God's value of what's important and our value are usually two different ends of the spectrum. What God considers riches is most of the time not what man considers riches, okay? So when it says riches there, okay, I don't want you going away thinking, okay, if I read the Bible and try to obey God, he's going to make me rich. Well, let me say this. He's already made you rich if you're a Christian. Hey, you got a mansion if you're a Christian. Did you know that? Now, you're not going to probably get it until you get to heaven, but hey, if you're a child of God, you're richer than the richest person on this planet. I'll just tell you that. All right, so understand that, because when we read through Proverbs, you'll see that word riches a lot, okay? So it's not just referring to monetary gain. Although, like I said, if you apply Bible principles to your finances, you will have more money than if you don't apply Bible principles to your finances, okay? Then it says honor, okay? Honor. Hey, you know what? All of us would like to have honor in our lives. I mean, we want people to honor us, don't we? And we should want to honor others. Pleasantness. I love that word, pleasantness. Don't you just want to have a pleasant life? Pleasantness. And then we see the word peace. Man, that's an important word. All right? So, you know what God is saying? Listen to me. God is saying here, if you will pursue wisdom, okay, these are things you can have in your life. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I'll take wisdom. I think I'll take it. I mean, you know what? It's going to cost me some things to get it, but let me tell you something. The pursuit of wisdom and the gaining of wisdom is worth whatever thing it may cost me, because wisdom, the byproducts of having it, are so important. All right? So in the midst of this, God says, time out. Let me just reaffirm to you why you need wisdom. Okay, now, let's continue with the rest of the knots. Now, we only got about 25 minutes left, so we will not be able to do an exhaustive study of these, but I'm going to at least mention them to you, okay? Verse 21, let's look at it here. Chapter 3, verse 21, here's what it says. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. Okay, so here's the next knot we find is this. Let not them depart from thy eyes. You say, well, what is not to depart from our eyes? Well, he answers that in the last part of the verse. Sound wisdom and discretion. That's what God says here. Do not let sound wisdom and discretion depart from your eyes. Now, that word keep, when he says to keep sound wisdom and discretion, the word keep means to protect. And what God is saying here is for us to not let sound wisdom and discretion out of our sight, is what he's saying here. It's kind of like this, all right? You know how it is when you take your kids somewhere, all right? You take your kids to the park, and you know, here's the phrase we use, I'll be keeping an eye on you. You know what that means? I always want them within my sight. Okay, I always want to be able to see them. All right, I remember one time when my daughter was young, I was not there, because I promise you, if I was there, this probably wouldn't have happened. All right, yeah, right. Okay, just kidding. All right, my wife had gone out to eat. I took the kids, and Faith was probably only 2 or 3 years old at the time, and they went to eat the Mexican restaurant in Linton, and they were there, and all of a sudden, Alyssa looked up, and Faith was gone. Now, as a parent, if that's ever happened to you, let me tell you what happens. Your adrenaline spikes. Your heart starts thumping. You go into panic mode, okay? She started looking around, couldn't find her anywhere. Well, she walked out the door, and I believe she saw somebody that kind of told her, oh, the little girl walking down toward Angels. This was when Angels was right next to the Mexican restaurant. And Faith, 2 years old, walked out of the restaurant, down to Angels, into the store, and was sitting on one of those handicap carts, you know, playing on it. And my wife didn't keep a very good eye on her that day. All right, no. Are you kidding? Shoot, if I was there, she would probably have been in Radio Shack or something. Who knows? But what God's saying here is this. Look, you need to keep an eye on wisdom. Do not let it out of your sight. You ought to be so concerned about getting it that it's always something that you're looking out for. That it's always something that you are trying to pursue. Okay? And that word discretion means your plan to get wisdom. If I were to ask you as a Christian, okay, what is your plan as a Christian to get wisdom? You ought to be able to give me some definite answers. Now, you may not know what those answers are yet. We're all learning together, okay? But if I were to say, what's your plan for getting wisdom? You ought to be able to give me some very concrete things that you are doing to get wisdom. For example, the Bible says that we are to ask God for wisdom. Every day, ask Him for wisdom. Have you asked God for wisdom? I mean, literally, God, I need wisdom in my life. Would you give it to me? Bible says in the book of James, you have not because you ask not. Okay, so we need to ask God for wisdom. Every morning, we need to read the Bible looking for things to obey. I mean, you ought to ask yourself, when you read your Bible, Christian, you shouldn't just say, okay, I'm just going to read my Bible so I can be done with it. As you're reading it, you need to say to yourself, okay, God, show me some things that I can obey that you're going to teach me through your word. Now listen, folks, that's crazy in our day and age. Most people look at the Bible as some just historic book, and most people don't even think it's even true. Oh, it's full of contradictions and full of errors. But as Christians, we know better than that. And the Word of God is something that we ought to look for and its principles to live out in our life. Okay? Bible says, too, are we looking that we're making sure we're spending time around people that are wise? Bible says that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Are the people I'm spending time with, are they wise people? All right? Bible talks about that if I get counsel, I can have wisdom. Are there people, counselors that I go to when I need advice? How many has ever had a problem that you couldn't figure it out on your own? All right, come on now. All of us have. All right? And you know what? What do I do? Okay, if I can't figure it out, well, I'll just wing it. Well, you know what? I mean, if it comes to guys putting, you know, that cabinet together that your wife wants you to put together, you may be okay winging that. You know, you might be all right winging that. Well, the door might not shut right, okay, but you're probably not going to die if the door don't shut right. But listen, when it comes to my decisions in life, I shouldn't just wing those decisions. Because there's some pretty important decisions in life that if I just wing it, it could not possibly turn out very good for me. So what do I do when I don't know? Well, the Bible says you go to some counselors. Okay, now listen, folks. Those are some concrete things you can do to get wisdom. And God says keep an eye out for those things. All right? Look and see what you can do and what your plan is for getting wisdom, and don't let it out of your sight. All right? Now, if you'll do that, God attaches some promises to that. All right, look at verse 22 through 24. Let's see what it says here. All right, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. And here's the promise attached to it. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely. Thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Now, those are some pretty important promises, valuable promises that God attaches to that, okay? It's a sixfold promise. God says, look, if you'll keep sound wisdom and discretion, let me tell you what that will do for you, all right? First of all, he says this, life unto thy soul. Now, that word life, it means a lot, it means freshness. And your soul in the Bible refers to the inner you. It refers to your mind, your will, and your emotions. Let me tell you what wisdom will do for you. It will pump freshness into the way you think, into the things that your attitude you have, and the way that you feel. Wisdom will help you feel alive in those areas. Now, folks, listen. I've been at places in my life where I haven't had wisdom, where I've sinned, I've been not right with God, and I've done things I shouldn't have done. And let me tell you something, when I live that time, when I make those choices in my life, and I have sin in my life, and I'm not living by wisdom, let me tell you something, I feel horrible inside. Things aren't clicking. I mean, I can't even seem sometimes to think just certain things that I ought to just be able to think. Okay, but on the other hand, When I have tried to pursue wisdom, and I've got the Word of God in my life, and I've spent time with the Lord in prayer, and I'm asking God for wisdom, listen, it's like the Holy Spirit inside just, He pumps freshness into everything that you do. By the way, that's just one byproduct here, all right? Life unto thy soul. Here's what else He says. Grace to thy neck. Now that word neck there, if you look it up, it's talking about your throat and your jaws. He's talking about here, when He says grace to thy neck, He's talking about grace to the things that we say, is what He's meaning here. Here's what it's saying. Literally, wisdom will infuse grace into the things that you say, and it will provide you with the right words to say that will help others. Now, folks, listen, the Bible has a lot to say about the things we say. I mean, that's a whole other Bible study, and we're going to learn some of those things as we go through Proverbs. But, you know, when we speak, we need to speak with grace. Now, that word grace, it means unmerited favor. You know what that means? When we speak to people, we need to speak things that, kind things to people, things that will help people. Hey, my words can either tear somebody down or my words can help somebody. And we all have to make that choice how we're going to use our words. Has there been times in my life where I've used my words wrong? Of course. Okay, all of us have. All right, but listen, folks, wisdom will make your words infused with grace. And I want my words to be able to help. Wisdom will give you that ability. Not only that, the Bible says this, it will allow you to walk in thy way safely. You know, people that live their life with wisdom are put under God's hand of protection. Literally, wisdom will protect you physically. It'll keep you out of physical harm's way when you live your life by wisdom. Now, I'm not saying that bad, horrible things don't happen to people that are Christians. No doubt, we all know some instances. But let me just tell you this. My experience, when I've read or I've studied or I've seen things about these horrible crimes that happen to people, most of the time, you know what the common denominator is? These people, these horrible crimes happen to, are usually doing things or places they shouldn't be at. They've either involved in drugs or alcohol or prostitution or things like that. They put themselves in situations, and because of that, there's no protection. Now, as Christians, if you will put yourself under wisdom, God's hand will supernaturally protect you. There's been times in my life, literally, I should have died. I really have. This is going to sound a little weird, but there's been times where I've been driving down the road and I've looked in my mirror to move over, and I just got this feeling. I didn't see anything in my mirror, but this feeling, look over your shoulder. I look over my shoulder, there's something in my blind spot. You know what that is? That literally, I'm not trying to sound weird or spooky. That is God's supernatural hand of protection. And there's many other instances I could give you. I should have died one time in an ATV accident. I mean, I was doing something stupid I shouldn't have been. I wasn't using wisdom that day, and God still protected me. All right? I was out climbing a stupid hill I never should have been on. And literally, an ATV flipped over, and it should have crushed me and killed me. It really should have. But you know what? It didn't. Somehow, miraculously, that thing bounced right over the top of me, didn't even touch me. And other than wrecking my ATV, I was fine. And you know what? God protected me that day. All right, now listen, folks. People all over this room could stand up and tell you how God has supernaturally protected them. Now God promises that to those who live their life by wisdom. All right? Walk in thy way safely. Not only that, the Bible says this, thy foot shall not stumble. Let me ask you a question. What happens when your foot stumbles? You know what happens? You fall. Okay? And what God is saying here is this, is that if you live your life by wisdom, okay, your steps are going to be sure. Now, that doesn't mean that you will never fall in life, okay? But let me tell you this. Let me tell you what I've learned in my life. When I fall, it's because I'm not living my life by wisdom. And as I'm walking along, and if I walk off the path of wisdom, more than likely I'm going to fall, okay? Now, look, when I fall, it's not the path's fault. You know whose fault it is? It's mine for getting off the right path, okay? So wisdom will make your steps sure, all right? They'll make them steady. And not only that, the Bible says this. It says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Now, as human beings, when are we the most vulnerable? You know when it is? It's when we're asleep. Okay, when we're asleep, you know, we're in that comatose state. And, you know, if something bad's going to happen to us, it could happen to us when we're sleeping. Now, let me just tell you this. Wisdom will protect you from unnecessary fear when you sleep. Okay, wisdom will protect you from that. Why is it? Why is it as Christians, wisdom will protect us from that? Well, I'm going to read these verses to you. Man, these are good verses. Psalm 121 says this, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Let me tell you something. You know why? If you live your life by wisdom, you can feel protection even at night when you're vulnerable, when you're sleeping, because God never slumbers nor sleeps. Man, I'm thankful for that. God doesn't need to sleep. Okay? God's never has to take a rest break. Okay? He doesn't need those things. When I was a kid, I was a paranoid kid. All right? Now, I don't know if it was some traumatic experience in the womb. I don't know. But I was a paranoid kid. All right? My brother will testify to this. I mean, I used to be paranoid of all kinds of stupid stuff. Like, I used to be paranoid of anytime the sky got dark. I always asked my dad, "Dad, is there going to be a tornado? Is there going to be a tornado?" And my dad got so tired of me asking him that, he finally told me, "Son, tornadoes can only happen from 12 o'clock in the afternoon to 2 o'clock in the afternoon." Okay, I mean, and when I got older, I'm like, man, tornadoes happen at night too. My dad lied to me. All right, but I was paranoid. I mean, I was so paranoid that sometimes when I'd wake up at night, if I would hear, you know, how your house just makes noises. Okay, your furnace kicks on, or something else happened, I would think someone was breaking in the house. I mean, and so what I would do is, man, I was a retard. What I would do is I would keep a pair of earmuffs under my bed. And if I woke up at night so I could go back to sleep, I'd put these stupid earmuffs on so I could hear the noises at the house. I was paranoid, all right? Now, as I've gotten older, praise the Lord, I've lost some of that paranoia, all right? Most of it, all right? I don't sleep with earmuffs under my bed anymore. I sleep with the Glock 40, okay? So that's a lot better protection than earmuffs, okay? But I was paranoid. But you know what? Literally, that will help me sleep is knowing that right before I go to bed, you know what? I always talk to the Lord. "Lord, please help me tonight as I sleep. I pray that you'd protect us. You'd watch over my family. You'd keep us safe, Lord. And Lord, I trust in you tonight as I sleep." And you know what? 99% of the time, boom, it just falls right into a sleep. You know why? Because God protects, supernaturally protects those with wisdom. Okay? "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid." And then he says this, "Thy sleep shall be sweet." That word sweet means pleasant. Okay, now, when do you not have pleasant sleep? Well, it's usually when you're worried about something, right? I mean, you got something in your mind and you just can't let it go and you're worried and you keep waking up, you keep tossing and turning. Well, the Bible says that by wisdom, if you live your life by wisdom, God will bless you with sweet sleep. Why is it? Because God blesses, the Bible says he blesses the sleep of a laboring man and a wise and godly man. All right? So listen, here's the thing. You want to sleep good at night? Make sure you're living your life by wisdom. Okay? Just live your life by wisdom. Hey, here's the thing. If you got some things on your conscience you need to take care of, take care of it. Make a phone call. Talk to somebody. All right? And keep things right. And if you will, God promises those promises to you. All right? So, forget not thy law. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Lean not to thine understanding. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. Let not wisdom and discretion depart from thine eyes. Here's the next one, verse 25. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked. Let's read the verse 25. Okay? Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked, when it cometh. Now notice the last three words of that verse. You know what it says? When it cometh. When it cometh. Not if it comes, when it comes. Let me tell you the truth of life. There's going to be times when things that can cause fear will come suddenly and unexpectedly upon us. It's just going to happen. Okay, you're going to get the phone call. Okay, you're going to get the news. And it's going to be sudden. It's going to be unexpected. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to want to cause fear to rise up in your heart. Now, how does God want us to deal with it when those things come upon us? What should be our response to those things? Well, you know what? The world responds differently than Christians should respond. Okay, I saw it this week on the news when that horrible tragedy about those girls being kidnapped over, and I forget where it was at, where those Muslims came in and kidnapped those girls out of that school. And when they were telling the families about that and the fact that they hadn't found anything, literally people were just falling on the ground wailing and pulling at their hair. I mean, it was an eerie sight. But you know what? They have no hope. Okay, so they're there and they're not handling it right. Well, here's the thing, okay? And I'm not down on those people. I couldn't imagine being in that type of situation. But here's how God wants Christians to respond when these unexpected things happen in our lives. Okay, here's what he says: be not afraid. Now that's hard. Be not afraid. That's what God says. Hey, when sudden fear and calamity comes upon you, I want you to not be afraid. Well, how in the world can we not be afraid? I mean, hey, we got that doctor's appointment coming up, okay? The doctor said that there's a possibility for us to hear the C word, okay, or some other thing. How, God, can I not be afraid about that? Well, look at verse 26. Here's what he says. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Okay, now notice here, we talked about this last week. When you see the name Lord there, notice that it is it's different. It's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That means something. You know what that means? That means that it's the name God is using for himself here is the name of Jehovah God, the self-existent one. And God says this, here's the thing. When these sudden things come upon you, I want you to not be afraid because Jehovah God, the self-existent one, is going to be your confidence. And he's the one that's going to keep your foot from being taken. Now, by the way, this promise is only to people who live their life by wisdom. Not just because you're saved, because there's a lot of saved people who don't live their life by wisdom. They choose not to do that. But if you'll live your life by wisdom, God says this, when that comes upon you, I don't want you to be afraid because I'm going to be your confidence. I'm going to be there not to allow your foot to be taken. Now, God at times in life will allow us to face hard things. But here's the thing as Christians we can take confidence in is this. Whatever we face as Christians, if we're living by wisdom, it cannot touch you unless it's gone through God first. And because of that, you can have confidence that because God is allowing this, he's got a greater purpose and a greater plan for whatever it is you're going through, and he will give you the grace and he will give you the strength to make it through. I promise you that's true. Now, folks, there's people in this room that have gone through things that you may not even know about. That it's hard, difficult things. And they can tell you this. Do you know what? This verse is exactly true. Now, that doesn't mean there weren't tears shed. That doesn't mean that there wasn't heartache. But it means this. You know what? God was their confidence that brought them through. I think of, in the Old Testament, I think of a perfect illustration. How could we not think about the life of Job? I mean, I don't know if anybody in the Bible is a better illustration of somebody facing hard things like that except for Job. Now, I'm not saying Job's the guy that suffered the worst that's ever been on this earth, because there's been old people suffer a lot of things. But let me say this, Job suffered immensely. I mean, could you imagine one day going from basically being the richest man in the land to being in a 24-hour period, the poorest man in the land with all of your children dead and your wife forsaking you in a 24-hour period? That would be hard to handle. But you know what we find about Job? Job trusted in the Lord through that. Here's what Job said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Could you imagine that? God, even though you've allowed these things to happen to me, I'm still going to trust you, God. Now that's amazing. How could Job say that? Because Job lived his life by wisdom. He lived his life by wisdom. Now, folks, listen, I'm not saying that's easy to live. I'm not even saying everybody's going to be there, but that's the goal to be at, okay? Is to put your confidence so strong in God that when those things happen, that you will be not afraid, all right? Let's look at the next one. Here we go. Number 8, look at verse 27. Here's what he says. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Here's the next not. Here it is. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due. All right, let me just give you a few principles here. Number one is this. Christians are to participate in the doing of good. Okay, now look, we don't do good works to get us into heaven. Okay, that's a clear teaching of the scripture. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, so unless we would be accused, well, you just do good works as you're trying to get to heaven. No, we're not. We're saved by grace through faith. But let me say this. Okay, we're not saved by good works, but we're saved to good works. You know what that means? Once you're saved, God expects us to do good works. That's what God expects, is for Christians to do good works. By the way, God's the one that set the example in this. If you go back to Genesis and you read Genesis chapter 1, I'm not going to read them all to you. There's too many, but here's what you'll see over and over. And God saw the light that it was good. God looked at everything he did and said, you know what? That is good. So God set the ultimate example for we as Christians to be doing good works. Number two, Christians are specifically commanded to show goodness to those in authority. The Bible says here, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. That word due literally is a noun. It means master, it means owner, or it means Lord. And you know what God is saying here? You need to make sure that as a Christian, you do good to those in authority. Now look, I didn't say that. God said that. Okay, folks, listen to me. Authority is God's idea. It's not man's. It's God's idea. God's the one that established authority. All right? And God says that as Christians, we have a responsibility to do good to those in authority. Titus 3:1 says this, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. So people that are in authority, God expects us to do good for them. Okay? Wives, let me ask you a question. Are you showing your husband goodness? You say, well, he's a jerk. He doesn't get me. All right? I think every woman sometime in her life has said that about their husband. Okay? He just doesn't get me. Well, wives, the Bible says, show good to them. Men, are we showing, are we doing good to our authority, to the bosses that we have? You say, well, he's not even a Christian. God doesn't say, show good to them if they're a Christian. That's not what he says. He says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Okay, we're supposed to be good to those in authority. As citizens, are we showing our elected officials, and yes, even our law enforcement goodness? Okay, look and listen, folks, that's just common Christianity. That's what God says we're supposed to do. As church members, are we showing our pastor goodness? Those are in authority over us. Okay? And then the Bible says this, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it, God will enable you for specific opportunities to do something good for those in authority. The word phrase, power of thine hand, it literally means this. It means the supernatural strength of your means is what that phrase means. The supernatural strength of your means. Now here's the thing. There's times where I would love to be able to do things for people, but you know what? It's not in the power of my hand at that time. I just can't. It's just not there. So you know what I do? If there's an opportunity that God gives me to do good to someone, God's going to give me the supernatural means to do that. And by the way, it doesn't always mean monetary things. You can do good to people without giving them money or spending money on them. I mean, when's the last time you went up to a law enforcement officer somewhere and instead of making some stupid joke about him stopping and eating donuts, walked up and shook his hand and said, thank you for serving our community? That's something good. Okay? And that's what God says. Okay? To those who do good for us, not to neglect that. All right? Quickly, we just got a couple minutes left here. Here's the next one, verse 28. Look what he says here. Say not to thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee when thou hast it by thee. Okay? Here's what he says here. Okay? When it comes to the context of this verse, it's talking about our neighbor. Okay, and that is someone who is close to us. And God is saying is this, okay? When there's someone who is close to you that needs help and you can help them, you need to help them. That's what God's saying. He says, don't blow off people that I've sent by your way to help you. By the way, it's not a complete stranger here that needs help. It's a neighbor. And listen to me, folks, the fact of the matter in life is this. There's sometimes going to be time when there are people in our lives generally need help. Now, the Bible isn't talking about someone who is a bum and dependent upon other people to provide their needs. He's talking about someone who is doing their part, a neighbor, okay, that's trying. And God says, look, here's the thing. There's going to be times when somebody's going to come to you for help, and you know what? You need to help them. Now don't take this the wrong way, okay? Don't think, well, that means that, you know, if I can't pay my satellite bill, I'm going to ask the church to pay it for me. That's not what God's saying here, okay? All right? What God is saying here is when there's genuine needs of people that are close to you and that you see they need help, if you can't help, you need to help them. That's what God says. Okay? I didn't say it. God said it. Okay? The next one, let's just read it here real quick. Verse 29. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. What that means is this. It means don't let the devil stir stuff up between you and people that are close to you. Okay, look, devise not evil against thy neighbor. Let me tell you what the devil's good at. He's good at trying to put rifts between people that there shouldn't be rifts between. He's good at that. I mean, the devil wants to try to drive wedges between you and your family members, between you and your church members, and every close relationship in your life, the devil wants to drive a wedge between. Don't let him do it.